Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I have Max and Edward here, and we have smiles on our faces.
You do?
It's crazy talk. What's going on here? It's a little wonder why we got a win yesterday, and it was awesome. It was a fun game to watch, although it did get a little squeaky bum near the end. Let's really quick summarize what we've got going on the show for the podcast peoples out there. We're going to start with our Leicester reaction, and I'll give you a hint. It's happy. Next, we're going to go around, go through the transfer roundup, because the window closed, slammed shut shortly after the game ended yesterday, and we managed to get one over the line after it had closed because of an extension. That's kind of cool. We'll talk about if it's actually cool in a little bit. We'll also go through all the outgoings and all that stuff. And lastly, we're going to go do a little Arsenal preview because we don't really have a lot of time to be happy. We got to prep because who knows? Saturday might be grim. We're hoping not, but hey. So especially a fully reloaded Arsenal. New faces, new talent.
Yes. I see what you did.
Yeah, you see that? You like that? Wordplay. So, anyways, so gentlemen, let us begin with the Leicester reaction. All right? Who would like to begin? For the people out there who are totally clueless, we won 2-1. Yeah.
Sounds weird because it never actually happens.
Yeah. Yeah, just saying it out loud helps make it feel more real. So, did any of you guys get to go to the game?
No, I was stuck in Manchester, back in uni now. So, you know, I've got to be a lot more careful with my time. Unfortunately, I didn't go.
Mm-hmm. Edward, I believe you might have, yeah?
I think I did. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good to watch. I mean, it was nice for once to have a bit of intensity and actually looking like we were going for it in a way as well. It may sound a bit weird to say it now, but maybe they were all thinking about, like, it was a bit like fighting for the places. You know, they turned up because they wanted to fight for the places, but then it seems a bit preposterous because the deadline day, you know, only finished a couple of hours after, didn't it? So,
how was the atmosphere there? Because I've read on Twitter and all over the place where they acted like it felt a little bit more like older school Goodison, you know, like the way it's supposed to be. Do you think that's due to the fact that we made a go of it or the fact that we just happened to score goals?
I think really the atmosphere was, it was from the start, which was very good to see. But it's all of all really started. I reckon it's the only reason it's changed is because of the fact that Coleman's come back. And, you know, everyone's got sort of the excuse to do the 60 grand chance. That sort of then just kicked it off. And then the chance were all going. And that is probably why we didn't, like, drop our heads. Fans were still supportive of the team, and the team realised if we pull up our socks, we'll keep this win here.
Yeah.
But I don't know about everyone else.
Max?
We just looked like we had a bit of an identity back, I think. You know, it wasn't kick and rush football like it's been for, like, the last 7 games without a win. You know, we set up with a bit of intent. I mean, we were shaky from those Leicester corners. I think that gives us something to work on the training ground. You know, them hitting the bar, and we looked a bit unsure of ourselves when it came to the corners. But as Edward said there, Seamus Coleman come back. Did he even break his leg? Jesus Christ, the way that man performed. You know, he was at 100%, and it was just a delight to see, because we all know how great of a player he is, well, you know, when he's fully fit. And the fact that he was able to link up with Walcott down that right-hand side, now I'll admit that is something exciting for Everton fans to look out for and watch. And I think something else that's worth noting, was with Walcott being there is that there was a lot of movement in and around that final third, which I think we've lacked.
Yep.
And that was hugely beneficial, you know, for the likes of Sigurdsson, for the likes of Coleman, who, you know, are going to press and try and find their way through in and around their defence. And it worked. I think Sigurdsson looked a lot more comfy. I watched an interview with him the other day. He said he was fortunate in that run, even though we weren't winning. He did get a few more games centrally. But, so again, I think it goes back to the old argument. I think we're going to have to fit him in central to get his full potential out of him. But I think Theo Walcott, they've got man the match for me. Just his movement and his desire. And as Edward said there, the atmosphere really picked up when he got that goal. It was just great to see Goodison, you know, rocking again, and the fact that the players looked comfortable and weren't panicking when they were on the ball.
Mm-hmm. So I can't disagree with anything you guys are saying. I will say, and that's my point. Cough. No. So Martina makes. Dispossesses Chilwell in order to make that goal happen. What? You know what I mean?
But he was on the right hand side.
What was he doing? It was crazy. I mean, it was exciting. I loved it. I felt really happy for him. You know, because you want for someone who's just taken a bunch of shit from all directions, who was put in a difficult situation in the first place, you want him to do well. You want him to succeed. You want him to surprise. I love a good underdog. You know what I mean? I really do. I loved seeing that. I was happy for him.
And he made the goal line clearance near the end, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He made some important plays. Honestly, I don't – who knows? But the thing is, here's the thing, guys. Seeing Coleman operate on the right showed me what we could have on the left. You know? Mm-hmm. And so... And
it kind of goes back to, you know, the few years back when we had Baines and Coleman in the prime, and you kind of realise when you've got the two attacking fullbacks there, how much of an asset they can be to your team.
Man.
Mm.
It was tough. It was tough because...
You know...
Go ahead.
I know, I was going to say... you know, the only left-footed, as in strong foot, the left-footed player in that entire, like, bench and team was actually Pickford.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other left-footed player in that team.
Technically, you know, you're right. Sigurdsson is right-footed. He does have a really good left, though. To be fair to him, it's almost as good. But he will prefer his right if he has a choice. You know, that's very true. That was kind of funny. You're totally right in the fact that, well, we have recently bought another left-footed player, but we'll get into that in a different segment. Plug away.
Check it out.
So I wrote down a list of the things that were different about this, about what happened here, besides the opposition. All right? And I'm just going to, you know, rattle them off. Coleman was in for Kenny. Jags and Keane were in for Holgate and Williams. Davies was in for Schneiderlin. Rooney was playing deeper. Sigurdsson was actually playing on the left, although he kind of wandered inside some. Nias was in for Tosun. Nias was in for Tosun. And I think there was a tweak of our formation. I don't think we did exactly what we had done in the past because of the weird... I mean, when you watched Davies and Rooney... Neither one seemed like they were really playing like a number 10 role. They seemed like they kind of took turns going forward. I actually thought Davies went forward more often.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, I know we talked about it a lot in terms of attacking and, you know, that kind of constant pressing and rotation in the attack. But as I say, that constant, you know, it applies all over the pitch, you know, the constant team effort. In the work ethic of the team and that desire to press and move with the ball, we saw that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's been a while since, you know, an Everton performance has kind of generated that press and play. I just think that, I know I mentioned it earlier, but having Walcott in that side, it showed how much we've lacked movement in and around the final third. And I know you said there as well about Omar. I think Tosin's going to have to get a run in that side now, because, I mean, I know Omar did miss a good few chances. And if you're wanting a man to hold the ball up, he wasn't so much isolated this time, because there were players running in and around him. But if you, what you need your centre forward to be efficient and to be on form, to put the distance between you and the opposition there. And I've seen several highlights from him at Besiktas. You know, Tosin looked like he's very capable of being that man that can get other people involved.
He appears to be much more composed than Nias. They seem like polar opposites. You know, Nias is one of those where you're just amazed he scored, and he's like pure speed. He does have some strength.
Yeah.
You know,
but he's got grit and determination.
He actually muscled Maguire kind of and got called for a foul. I didn't think it was a foul in the first half.
Yeah, I think Maguire, that was just, you know, he's kind of lit a light bulb up there for me. Something that I did take note from that game was Maguire did tend to, in football, speak bully him a little bit, you know, so, you know, knocked him around, was the first to the ball each and every time. And
that's what I was going to say.
You know, it's an observation that you think, you know, if you want to be more efficient, then, you know, you need someone that's going to be able to compete for the ball every single time it's in and around them.
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent that Maguire did seem stronger. Well, he is. Omar, I will say, the first year he was here, he looked weak. He looked like his arms look, you know, as thin as mine. You know, he's oddly built. You know what I mean? But I think there's more strength. I think he actually muscled a few people out of the way yesterday. But
you see,
I still don't think his hold-up play is as good as Tosin's. I think Tosin's hold-up play is great. I think Tosin's vision is better. I think Tosin's a much more clinical player. I think Nias's big thing is unpredictability and speed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That one makes him such a great impact player off the bench. Mm-hmm.
That, I agree. I totally agree. So, Edward, you've been waiting to say something. Go ahead.
I think... I was just a bit upset for Umar, just the fact that he missed all those little chances. But I'd need to say, I think we need to give a bit of a shout out to Keane. What a game he had. He was incredible. I think early on he managed to block a cross that would have gone in. He actually got the assist as well for Walcott's goal, didn't he?
Second one, yeah.
So I think he had an incredible game, and this could be the game that puts his confidence up and actually turns him into the amount of money that we paid for him and makes him worth it. Because I rate him.
Yeah, and I rate him too. And he played left center back. He normally sticks to the right, and when he's played on the left, it's not worked out that well. He played on the left this time, and I thought he did really well. When Vardy seems like he's not even on the pitch for a lot of the game, That's pretty solid.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that I think the all the speculation around Riyad Mahrez probably did less than no favors. So, I mean, I don't think we can get too ahead of ourselves, because again, you know, we were shaky at the start and we were definitely shaky towards the end. Yep. So, and especially with Arsenal coming up at the weekend, we can't be getting too ahead of ourselves. But as Edward says, not just Keane, this needs to be the game where all players can look at it and say, you know what, right, we've done the job there, we can get our hopes up, we can get our confidence up, and, you know, we can start having a bit about us for the rest of the season.
To be, I totally agree with that. It is the fact that Mahrez wasn't in, and I think it was funny, like before when we made our last video, our Leicester preview, we were lamenting the fact that Mahrez was going to be scorching either side, wherever they... And he happens to be the one that's not on the bus to actually.
Yeah, props to that man.
You know what I mean? Kind of strange how that works out. However, I want to say Demarai Gray is a good player who slotted in for him. You don't like him?
No, he's a cracking player.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he's a crap player. I'm like, really?
I've always thought he's a player that should go.
I agree. He's solid.
He's a bit of a lookman though, isn't he? As well. But
well, anyway. Hold on. Do you mean like the fact that he's I don't know. I feel like he's bigger size wise.
Yeah.
And he's got the end product.
A lot of pace, a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. But I'll just say, I obviously met up with a Leicester fan last night. It'll be in my blog, so go check that out. But he was saying about the fact that Leicester, whenever there's like a negative situation, they tend to do quite well with it. Like, Ranieri gets sacked, they win the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare gets sacked, mm-hmm. and they win the next game. Mahrez hands in a transfer request, and they win the next game.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually quite confident in coming into this game, but I guess, obviously, you get your opinions wrong. But the Leicester fans were very confident, actually. They thought they were going to be able to go for it, but
I think a lot of us thought they were going to be able to go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, yeah. By the way, I'm just going to say this because you just reminded me about it. Claude Puel. I don't know if you guys, I'm a film nerd. It's probably been mentioned on Twitter. It's probably a commonly said thing on Twitter. But yeah, he looks exactly like the filmmaker Roman Polanski. Like, dead ringer. It creeps me out every time I see him. I'm like, wait! Shouldn't you be in Chinatown? Directing Chinatown and all that stuff? So yeah.
Who's he?
I know. He's a really, really controversial filmmaker, Edward. Look him up and you'll see. But there have been some movies that are canon film. So, yeah. I'm just going to echo the sentiments about Tosun. I think he would have finished the chances that Omar had yesterday. However, Edward, I'm going to get your back a little bit here. I think being in position to actually get those chances is easier said than done. You know what I mean? Mm. You actually have to be able to be there for it. And Omar did get himself into those positions. All right? I'm going to give him some credit for that. But he's the guy who makes the goal you don't expect. You know, I feel like it's the easy ones he struggles with, and it's the ones where he's leaping over the Bournemouth keeper in order to head it in. You know what I mean? Like, those are the ones he scores. He doesn't make sense. Nothing about Nias makes any sense. And it's,
well, that's why we love him.
It's great. I will tell you, though, at the end of that one, I was just like, oh, man, Omar. I really wish Omar had made that. I wish he had made that first half. You know what I mean? We'd have been in such a better spot.
I think people at the end of it were going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like it. I like it, Edward. I like it. Bring the wordplay. I've seen there's some of these positions. I've seen people slating Keane, saying they didn't think he did a good job. I've seen people slating Davies, saying that they didn't think he did a good job.
He did all right. I think it wasn't the best one, but he did all right.
Not the best one, but I think he actually, the pushing us forward and the fact that he was brave enough to make forward passes, he was brave enough to hold on to the ball for a little while. It's always to his detriment a little bit, right? Because he doesn't always hold on to it. But I like the balls he's got. You know what I mean? Like, because that's what we're lacking in the middle. I thought he did well, but I think a lot of people disagree.
I think I'll just ask this question. Did anyone else sink into their seats when they saw Schneiderlin coming on?
No. No.
Yeah, I did.
No.
I was just thinking, oh, no.
No, because it kind of, to me, that we harp back to this. I'm going to go back to the Newcastle game, I believe, when, you know, it was late on in the game, we're trying to keep a 1-0 lead, and he brings Phil Jagielka on. You know, they're, I mean, I know we said many things about Sam, but all those kinds of tactical little tweaks that he makes, I think when Schneiderlin's being criticised the most is when Everton are in positions where they should be winning games, but because due to like the lack of creativity and attacking intent, then that's, you know, he catches the bullet for it, because he's not a playmaker. He's not in the true sense of the word. You know, he's quite that deep lying, you know, defensive midfielder. And I think bringing him on to do his job, you know, I could understand that as soon as that happens. I mean, I know we did get shaky you know, definitely towards the end. And I feel like that's something that we've got to work on, is the consistency of carrying out the 90 minutes of, you know, being calm. Because, you know, when that penalty got given away, a lot of the heads, they did seem to wobble a little bit. You know, they looked severely under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is something that they're just going to have to work on for, you know, the next season. And, you know, for the long-term consistency as a team, that, you know, we're going to have to be able to fend these teams off and look comfortable. You know, you look at the likes of these Chelseas and the Man Cities, how often do you see them when they're 2-3-0 up, but they're still firmly in control of the game? You know, they still don't look like they're under pressure. And, I mean, we are way off that. But it's something to strive for and something to work on in training. It's to stay composed and stay calm.
I want to clarify something, Max. I have no problem with him bringing in a defensive midfielder. Like, if he brought in Benny, I actually would have been more fine than him bringing in Schneiderlin. Because I've never doubted Bonangimi's effort. I've never doubted his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And that's, but I will, I what I do think, and I'm going to agree with you here, is I think when things are going well, Schneiderlin, I think there's something about his attitude where I actually think we get the best out of him if things are going well in the team. You know, I've seen him in games pull out of going for a loose ball in the box where we're trying to defend, and if he'd have just gone after it, he may have prevented a goal. It happened a couple of times, and so that's I have no problem with the tactics he put in. Ashley Williams late yesterday. You know, he's trying to preserve. That's the opposite of what Martinez used to do.
Mm.
I'm cool with being defensive and shutting up shop to get the 3 points. You know, I'm down with that. No problem with that. I'll agree with Edward though. My butt cheeks clenched up a little bit when Schneiderlin came in, just because of the way he's played lately and his attitude in the past 2 months.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, particularly from a fan's perspective, if someone doesn't look like they're giving their all for the team, they're always going to, you know, be one of the first names on the lips to criticise. But I feel like as a professional footballer, the atmosphere around the club and amongst the fans hasn't been, well, it's been far from optimal, shall we say. So I think I do feel like that's affected the team a lot.
Agreed.
A lot over the last few weeks, and even before Sam came in, you know, you saw how low that we were.
Mm-hmm.
But as a, you know, from Schneiderlin's perspective, as a professional footballer, I feel like he's waiting for that moment to try and, you know, start over and have a good performance. So taking him out of the side and putting him on the bench, then bringing him on, and, you know, in the end we saw it out. So hopefully he takes that as a little vote of confidence to, getting his form back, and if he is selected to play against Arsenal, which it wouldn't surprise me, then hopefully he goes into it with a clear head and, you know, all right, I did my job last time out, so no reason why I can't do it here.
Anyway, that's the end of our Leicester reaction. The window closed yesterday, so we got to talk about transfers. What actually happened? We made predictions. We were sort of right at times. We'll talk about that. We were definitely right about the lack of activity, or it just didn't seem like there was much. The ins that we have, there's not many. We did not have many ins. Earlier in the window, we grabbed Cenk Tosun, who has actually looked good when he's in, but hasn't nabbed a goal yet. I think
one shot on target.
Well, the thing is, like, nobody's getting much when he's played. Mm. You know what I mean? I think the poor play wasn't his fault. He'll get a chance and he'll play well. He'll be fine. Walcott has looked like a friggin' world beater. I've been really, really happy with Walcott. Really fun to watch. He started to combine with other players. His speed looks like a different gear to the rest of the people who are playing. I knew he was fast. I didn't think he would be this quick and fast. His vision is great. He's just, I can't say enough nice stuff about Theo at this point.
Right place, right time.
Yeah. He's come straight in and plugged in and immediate impact. That's the argument for Premier League proven players right there. Okay? A lot of people make fun of it. Frankly, when something like that happens, it's pretty wonderful. You know, I don't know if he'll be able to keep it up over the next 5 years, but if he just keeps it up for more than one, I think we're all happy, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the last big in that we had was very late, but I remember I was actually staying up late on Tuesday night. I was, you know, everybody else had gone to bed. I was watching Black Mirror, and I'm sitting there by myself hanging out, and I look at my phone and I see Paul Joyce has tweeted. And I'm like, Hold on, is this the Blag account? Is this the fake one? Because there is one who gets everybody every time. And it says we're confident of a loan for Mangala. Elokim Mangala, which I think is what we said is how you pronounce it.
Eliquim, I think it is. Something like that.
Eliquim.
That's the one.
Sure. And we were confident of it, and it literally took all day long. All day long for it to hammer out. So long that
we're going to do the announcement video. That takes about 12 hours in itself.
Well, apparently. It does feel like we take a long time with those. I sort of wish we had gone with a different gimmick for each one. You know what I mean?
They're definitely not as bad as like the Aston Villa ones. Oh, God.
I'm a big fan of the Turkish teams ones, though. Besiktas are amazing.
Come to Besiktas.
Yeah, and the one for Eto yesterday was wonderful.
Oh, my God, that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What was that about?
The best thing I've ever seen in my life.
It was like Game of Thrones.
I see Everton and Game of Thrones combined in the same thing, and Samuel Eto'o to top it all off. That just made me day.
Yeah,
right, I'm gonna have to watch that at the end.
Yeah, you need to. It's pretty cool. And the ones, honestly, the ones from earlier in the earlier window, the Roma announcement videos are about the funniest thing I've seen. They are hilarious. They're like the anti-announcement videos, and me being the kind of jerk like that, I love that stuff. Oh my gosh, they were great.
I feel like that would be in your sort of area. I feel like you'd be one of those directors that'd be like, we're gonna get you to do that.
I'd be the weird guy and say, okay, now we're just gonna cut in a shot of a goat. That's what Roma did. It's insane. So anyway, so Mangala. Mangala, he has not played well for City, really. I think his first year, he got a decent amount of playing time and got them and played a lot in a season where they made it to Champions League semifinals. Since then, he hasn't been that strong. And in Pep's first year, he went on loan to Valencia. However, what type of a center back is he? Well, left-footed, that's true, but everyone that I see is saying, look, this is a Big Sam signing because Big Sam doesn't want really center backs that are really good, like, you know, on the ball, a la, you know, John Stones, supposedly. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what Sam wants. So, Sam wants a big bruiser who can get the ball out of there and win aerial duels. Mangala can do that. He was a part of that Porto team that went, like, was it undefeated, only allowed 14 goals a whole season?
Yeah, back-to-back titles as well, I think, or something like that as well.
So, I've heard it's a situation where we can buy at the end for less than 20 million at the end if we want it.
It's a good deal as well. It's this whole thing as well. We've got Funes Mori coming back as well. So if he turns up all right, then we won't need Mangala.
Well, but honestly, think about it, though. Keane, Holgate, Mangala, and Funes Mori.
Yeah.
It's not even thinking about Jags and Williams, who are experienced, and it'd be good to have one in the locker room. But if you've got...
Please don't. I'm going to get flustered.
You know what I mean? That's a strong center back crew if that's what Sam wants, you know?
Yeah, it's patient, bringing him in, it's patient power, isn't it? Something that we just seem like we lack a lot round the back. You know, how many times do you see It's like Vietnam style flashbacks to that that picture at Man United, you know, where they're all climbing over each other trying to get to the ball. And it's the kind, you know, because I've been speaking to a few Man City lads that I know, and he said, you know, obviously he's not the tidiest footballer in the world, but he'll just do the job and do what you want as a centre half. You know, he'll win the ball, he'll muscle people off the ball, he'll get first to the ball, and those kinds of, you know, particularly getting first to the ball is what appeals to me, because how many times have you seen, you know, Jags or Williams get breezed past by centre forward or someone with a bit of pace?
Sam has said before, when Keane made his first resurgence under Sam, and then he kind of went under the radar again. Sam was like, I'm simplifying the game for him. I just want him to be simple with it, not try to do too much with the ball. Just get rid of it when you're in a compromise, when it's a difficult position. Just get out, get rid of it. That Sam's going to do that for Mangala. He's going to tell him to do the same thing. Now, I will say, that type of play sometimes leads to those situations we've described in the poor Everton performances, where the defense clears it out, other team gets the ball, works it around, defense clears it out, other team gets the ball, and it's rinse, repeat, and it's the same thing. However, I do think it's going to get some confidence up for Mangala. I think he's going to do all right. I'm not worried about it.
Well, he's got a bit of motivation, if not to help Everton, he's got a bit of motivation to say to City, I'm a good player, so I want to come back into the team.
Two interesting stories that have cropped up about possible transfers for us on deadline day. The first one...
In or out?
In. All right. So you mentioned this off camera, Edward, but supposedly we were offered the chance to exchange Schneiderlin for Brozovic with Inter. And apparently we said no. Okay? So if this was last year, I would say keep Schneiderlin because he played well last year. You know, he did. He formed a really good partnership with Gay. And Brozovic, who is an impressive player, he does tend to be inconsistent. Okay? Mm-hmm. However, this season, I feel like you got to take that possibility seriously. You know? I don't know.
Don't write him off. I know he's not had the greatest of seasons. I know, and again, I know it seems like I'm always coming to his defense, but don't write him off. You know, he is a good player. He's shown that.
I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying that I'm trying. I don't know enough about Brozovic. I would have to look into it to consider it. You know what I mean?
I've just got that feeling that if we did end up letting Schneiderlin go, particularly in Italy, because I feel like he'd be great in Italy, no matter what team he ended up at. But I just feel like he'd be one of those players that, again, it kind of goes back to your earlier points. When whatever team he's in is doing well, he's always kind of a standout performer. So it's one of those situations where, do you want to let him go because you know how much of a good player that he can be?
Right.
You know, I've wrote an article on this that. The Gareth Barry mold type of player. I don't think he's exactly that, and I feel like that's what we've tried to get out of him. You know, I feel like we've tried to force him to replace Gareth Barry, who is a player that I think we've missed immensely this season.
For
his defensive cover. In his own right, I feel like Schneiderlin is a great player, and I'm glad we've kept hold of him.
See, I actually think we're missing Gareth Barry's passing range. You know, that's the thing that when watching him last season, I was like, damn, you don't want him to go out of the game. However, we do have a tendency to have these rose-colored memories. You know, Gareth Barry, our play got better when he went out of the side last season.
Yeah.
You know, and we tended to play a little poorer when he was in, despite the fact that he's a classy player. It was a speed thing, you know. So if we could have surrounded him with a little bit more speed, maybe. But I agree, they're not the exact same type of player. I'm not saying that Schneiderlin for Brozovic is a definite yes, but based on the form recently and his attitude, it's hard to not give it serious consideration. But the vibe, the vibe that I get is that Everton was just like, no.
Yeah, I feel like they seem like they were like that with the other deals that they were offered.
I think he needs to get his head down now, because that everyone saw that as a possibility and everyone kind of wanted him to go, or a lot of fans did want him to go, so he needs to get his head down and actually concentrate now. Because if he does and turns his season around, fair play, I'll forgive him, but as far as I'm concerned at the minute, I don't want him.
Well, Big Sam seems to like him. You know what I mean? Yeah. He plays him. So he rates him at least a bit. But I wonder if Nzonzi came in, if how he would feel then. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, one other in that I heard about by doing a little research. Apparently, Mangala was not our first choice. Okay? Apparently, we made a bid.
It's the Lille bloke, isn't it?
The Lille bloke. Yeah, because we were connected with two guys from Lille. One of them was Amadou, I believe that's his name. He plays center back, but he also plays center mid. I thought, because we were rumored with some other center mids, that's where we're going to go. But we Soumaoro, right? That center back that I have so much trouble saying his name because I'm trying to say it right.
You know what? I've not seen much of the lad play. The only thing that comes into my head whenever I hear his name is you gargling water.
So,
which is just a bloody Vietnam flashback in itself.
Oh, Max, you're welcome, sir. You are
getting you back for before.
I'm okay, though. I'm not going to turn red over this. I hope not. So, but apparently we had like a 22 million euro bid rejected by Lille. But we wanted him. But they said no. Apparently they didn't want to weaken their squad too much. Apparently they needed money, but I know they sold Terrier, that striker. I know they got rid of him, so maybe they didn't need to free up that much funds. He seems like a good player.
It looks like one that could come off in the summer if we wanted to revisit it again. Again, all the reasons that you've just given there, you know, it was just. It's just the problems with the January window.
Mm-hmm. I'm secretly hoping that Mangala proves to be a better signing because he's left-footed, and Soumaoro is not. He plays left side, but he uses his right foot. Max, I would be smirking and giggling at you the whole time. But those were the main. I mean, there were some other rumors that we were in for this, we're in for that. Some people said, no way, we're not going to get a left back. We didn't get a left back. That's the big lamentation that I think that everybody has.
That was sort of, my mate had a bit of a rant to me about that, of how we haven't managed to bring a left back in. And the way I try and look at it is, you know, I think the obvious go-to option that we would have of any chance of signing would have been Joe Bryan from Bristol City. And if we were to acquire him, particularly in January, we would have had to pay
a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you've got to look at it from, you know, Farhad Mashiri's perspective, that, you know, would he really want to do that if he could get him for a bit cheaper in the summer?
Something else.
Plus, you've already got Garbutt as well as a ready-made option, just in case.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much he rates Garbutt, but I want to mention Garbutt right now, actually, in conjunction with Mangala. Let's pretend like Sam's big problem with Garbutt is his defensive capability. What if we roll three in the back?
This is something that's been brought up to me as well.
Mangala on the left, Holgate on the right, and then Keane or Jags or Williams or whoever. Coleman on the right side, Garbutt on the left, so he has fewer defensive responsibilities and he can bomb forward more. You know what I mean?
It could work. My only qualms with that is whenever we have attempted that three at the back, we've looked shaky and it hasn't really looked like a pristine system.
I agree.
Against City?
But it's, you know, nevertheless, it's a system to go off, which is what we look like we've lacked.
It's an option.
So exactly. You know, if they do want to go into that and kind of become an understudy Man City, shall we say, kind of go off that kind of...
Chelsea did that all year last season. Yeah. And I think Garbutt may be good enough defensively to do that. Because the immediate thought is it takes away an attacker. But you have Garbutt on the left side, you're gaining an attacker, you know, that you didn't previously have. So some people would say, well, just run Garbutt at left back anyway. But if Sam has some hesitation toward doing that, maybe that would be the way forward. I don't know.
There's a possibility at the minute we could have two left footers and two right footers in defence. Now, wouldn't that be a dream to have?
Can't even see it. Don't even know how that works. So, essentially, this signing gives us more options. It's not the sexy big name signing that people are. I mean, it's a loan signing for a player who has not played well. All right. He played for Valencia last season, made like 30 starts, so he played a lot. But Valencia was down on the table and allowed a lot of goals. So, like, I specifically went to that to see, oh, wow, how did he play? He may have played great, but they still allowed a lot of goals. They did not play well. They did go through more than one manager, though. They did have a bit of a manager carousel.
Yeah, I think it was about three, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, maybe he played well and it is not indicative of that at all. But... I think I like the signing. I don't hate it.
I think the last signing that we had, like a loan signing from the top six, was Ledin. And look how well he turned out. It's a bit like the resurgence of form.
Did he turn out well?
In the second part of the season he came in.
When he came in, he did provide a spark, and he played well for Martinez when he was in. You know what I mean? Like...
We wouldn't have gone back for him if he didn't.
But remember, we just had really... We were low on ideas and positivity at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Yeah. They just come back. So,
let's talk about outs. Just mentioned Lennon. Lennon to Burnley. He got his debut yesterday. Played all right, from what I hear.
Really well.
So, people at Burnley seem to be happy with that transfer. Cool. You know, our replacement for him has been Walcott. We've been happy too. You know what? Let's all just make it happen, you know? Sandro has gone to Sevilla, like we talked about on a previous show. He wanted to go back to Spain. They have an option to buy. The option to buy is like $9 million. It's not very high.
Stupid.
I was sure that an option wasn't included.
People have said that there's an option.
Sure, I've heard there's an option included.
So I think that's low, but they may not take it. He may play poorly because they have other strikers.
In fairness, that's nearly double. We've made nearly profit.
Yeah, maybe 9 million euros, though. Profit. I can't remember. So anyway, Besic, late in the game, goes to Middlesbrough, the way we talked about what happened. I'm psyched. Let's get the kid some minutes. Let's get him to play. And he's playing under a good defensive coach. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a cool thing. Onyekuru has gone back to Anderlecht.
Has he?
Yeah. The work permit thing didn't get approved. People have said that. Publications online have said that. It could be we just couldn't get out of the deal. You know what I mean?
Is that technically a transfer out, or is that...
Yeah, I'm just mentioning as a thing. You know, it's transfer window related. I don't know. No, it's not. It's not, Edward. Yeah, it's related because we thought he might be coming to us. So, because I'm also going to mention Clausen, because Clausen didn't go anywhere, and he was close to going to Napoli.
Well, the situation weird which caused him not to go was bizarre, but Sam's comments on it were just as bizarre.
Hate that.
What did he actually say on it again?
Something about how Klaassen should be disappointed, you know, because he had the opportunity to play for Napoli. He should be disappointed. Instead of thinking, oh, well, it's great he wants to stay and work hard, you know?
Yeah.
He inferred that Klaassen didn't have a chance of playing with Everton.
He's got the chance to play for Everton. Fucking hell! I know. Napoli are playing brilliantly at the minute, but you know, Everton Football Club. Come on,
that's not a copy
you made by anyone who's been hired as the manager of every football club. That just isn't a comment that should be made.
They said two reasons why it broke down. One was, sorry, Edward. One was image rights.
And the image rights.
And other one, somebody mentioned Europa League and how he was already cup tied with that, but I don't know how legit that is. That sounds dumb. A dumb mistake by someone. But yeah, go ahead, Edward. Sorry, man.
I think there was like a tweet that said, we'll get rid of Klaassen, who is an outstanding player, won so many Dutch titles, Dutch awards, that can fit in the system that is best played for us. You know, it could be the potential, like another Wayne Rooney. No, we want to get rid of him. Keep Schneiderlin, who hasn't had the best run of games, and we could get a bit of a loan for him.
I'm not against
what you said, Max, but it's just like...
Yeah, and I'm not completely down with that logic either, because it's like comparing apples and Snapple. They're not really the same thing, you know what I mean? They don't really play the same position. I will say, I think Klaassen could step into that role that Davies played yesterday. He can play that position. Now, I don't know if he would bomb forward the way Davies did, because he has a tendency to play one and two touch ball when he plays. But I think he could fill in there. I would love to see him get a chance. You know?
Needs another try.
Yeah, I hope he keeps working hard and he gets a chance. I'd like Vlasic to get more of an opportunity as well.
Oh, crap, yeah. Worst thing is, I actually forgot about Vlasic.
By the way, Vlasic. We got to say it right, otherwise we'll have Croatian viewers saying, you're saying it wrong. So other stuff, Morales to Olympiacos. Have a good time, dude. They love him there. He's like Hasselhoff in Germany, you know what I mean? Like, they love him there. Gethin Jones goes on a permanent to Fleetwood. Liam Walsh goes on a permanent to Bristol City. Didn't really want those to happen. But, you know, hopefully they play well. Those are good players. Lewis Gray goes to Carlisle. It's a young keeper. Harry Charlesley goes to Bolton. I'm not sure if they're going to have him play midfield or outside back the way we had him play that one game. Was it Apollon that we had him play that?
Yeah.
And he did all right. It's just not his normal position. Those are, you know, he's another good young player, but I think we actually eventually would like to keep him. One guy, is his name Russ Berkeley. He went to Chelsea, I think. I don't know. Mm. I don't know if we've heard of him.
How's they got on last night?
That you know, it's not going so well for Russ. You know what I mean?
Poor Russ.
And the manager's not really being too nice to him either.
Yeah,
everybody's just piling on, but I don't know. I don't want
to. Can I call that, please?
I don't want to comment too much, but you know. Okay, that's the thing. I'm not even going to say anything encouraging to him. You know what I mean? Anyway, anyway, he made this bed. Just saying, he totally made this bed. He's got to lie in it. Guys, I think that's it.
Lochman?
Oh, no, that's the big one.
Lochman, you forgot about it.
That's the one. I've been saving it. Look, it's at the top of my list, right there, of my outs. So, the biggest one, the biggest out, is the one that Sam said would not leave, was not going anywhere, which is Ademola Lookman. And apparently, Lookman turned down a possible loan bid, a loan move to Derby in the championship. Apparently, he wanted to go more highest level, so that's where he's gone. He's gone to the Bundesliga with Leipzig, who is a solid squad and really good at developing youth players.
With a lot of exciting players in and around,
and they're really fun to watch.
Timo Werner, they got Naby Keita, who's unfortunately gone to that lot. Poulsen, they've got plenty of good players, and Sam's reasoning kind of was something that shocked me as well. Why would he want to go? He doesn't speak the language.
Okay, that's...
it's a barrier, but really?
I don't think that was his only reason. I think Sam just got pissed off that the kid wanted to move. He wanted to have the kid as an option, And if he thought that he was going to move, I think he might have tried to bring in a replacement. You know what I mean? So it's because look how light we are in wingers now. We technically only have three wingers, and if you count Sigurdsson, that's four. And then I mean that's counting Vlasic and Sigurdsson as wingers. You know,
who's the third one?
Bolasie, Walcott. That's four.
Bolasie, Walcott.
No, I'm sorry. I was counting Vlasic as the third winger, and then Sigurdsson.
Oh,
so yeah,
Vlasic, yeah. Sigurdsson, Calvert-Lewin, maybe.
Although he played there, I never.
He has played there, so he's
yesterday. He did. You're right. But yeah, I don't know. I think he was pissed. I think Sam thinks it's annoying to him. You know what I mean? I think he feels like it looks bad, and so he's crotchety about it.
I can completely understand why he'd want that move. You know, it's a great.
He's never going to get any games.
They're flying high in the Bundesliga, and they're an exceptional side. I mean, they're kind of like the antichrist of the Bundesliga. No German fans like them because they're not a proper football club. No, it's just like they're not funded through the fans or fan owned.
Yeah.
That was like the other clubs, but I can understand. I mean, it's a good move for him.
Yeah, he's going to get, hopefully he gets some minutes, hopefully he gets exposed to a top level. It's not English, however, he does have some experience playing, you know, in the English league. Maybe he just needs more culturing. Get him some minutes, mm-hmm. get him back. I was annoyed with the move, just because I thought...
Aren't Leipzig in the Champions League?
Well, I mean, I don't... I think they've already been kicked out, haven't they?
I
feel like they're out. I don't know.
Well, if they're not, he might get some game time.
I would prefer him get experience with us. I'm annoyed that Sam doesn't play him. That's what I'll say. Sam, though, wants to go with safe options. I mean, it blows my mind how he looked as good as he did against Liverpool.
And still got that game time. I know. It's bizarre.
He looked so good. He trimmed up that fullback. You know, they had to take him out. You know, Arnold, they had to take him out. So I don't get it. I wish he got more playing time. But I will say, I think it's completely short-sighted to not think it could be positive for him. I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah.
It could be really good for him. So, anyway.
Better than him rotting in the reserves and all that.
Playing U23, possibly.
It's not so bad.
I'm just going to say, Davy Claussen, if you're not getting game time, play U23s, please. Just get some game time. Learn the English game and get some play. Just play. That Sandro should have been doing that. Claussen should have been doing that. That sucks. You know, the fact that they're just, they have to be saying no. You know what I mean? They have to be refusing it. I don't know why they wouldn't do it. Anyway, rant over. That was my tirade. So that's the end of our transfer roundup. So, gentlemen, our joy doesn't last forever. We have to get, you know, nervous again because we've got another big match this weekend with Arsenal. Yeah, they got they're on 42 points for the season, which is like 11 more than we have. Their last three games, this past week they lost to Swansea 3-1. So they're coming off a loss. Just throwing that out there. Before that, they beat Palace 4-1. Lost to Bournemouth 2-1. They're not necessarily flying at the moment. However, they are coming off a loss. They may be kind of pissed because they lost to a team very low in the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And we're
and
coming
they
off a win.
They're bringing in firepower.
Yes, and that's what I was going to mention. Although they sold Giroud, Alexis Sanchez, Walcott, Coquelin, Marcus McGuane, and Debuchy. I know those last two aren't really all that impactful, but I'm just giving all their ends. They bought... Mavropanos, Greek defender, I believe he's a defender, yeah.
Not bad pronunciation there, well done.
Yeah, yeah. Two names, maybe you heard of them, Mkhitaryan, and Aubameyang. So I actually think that I'm really curious as to how they're going to do their lineup. I've got a potential lineup here, and I think the defense is probably going to be about right. Cech, Mustafi, Koscielny, Bellerin, Monreal. You know what I mean? That's very they tend to do that kind of thing. They could roll with Jack Wilshere and Granit Xhaka. However, you might see Aaron Ramsey in there or Elneny. Elneny, he played midweek against Swans. By the way, you also might see Kolasniak, the fullback, the left back that we were going for over the summer. We might see him in there as well if they choose to run the three in the back with the two wing backs, which they've done before. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting. Will they run their four best attacking players?
Okay. LMAO.
If they do that, they've got Mkhitaryan, Ozil, Aubameyang, and Lacazette. Okay? Will they do that, though? Because if they do that, you've got Ozil or Mkhitaryan kind of... I don't really know exactly how the formation would work with those. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm curious as to how he's going to line them up because I feel like Lacazette and Aubameyang are both strikers. And they're both very clinical and deadly in front of goal. But does one start of the other? Does Lacazette go to the bench? It's strange. But I feel like if you play your best attackers, those are the four you play. You know what I mean? And you've got two amazing passers in Mkhitaryan and Ozil. And two quick finishers, one much faster than the other in Aubameyang. But he also, this would be his first game. And he's hardly trained with the team.
So. That doesn't matter. That really
he's got a point to prove.
Whatever, for God's sake. if anything, that benefits him. You know what we're like against people playing the first Premier League game? My thoughts towards this are pretty short and sharp, really. We're coming up against Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang, you know, if they're playing together, it's the time to shine together, isn't it? At the Emirates, where we usually fold, and this is just going to be a question of mentality. And this is just it's quick after we can't really digest this win, but it's going to be a test, and we don't usually do well when things are a big test. So, you know, this is the big game to make a statement. I just hope we make it.
I'd forgotten about the Dortmund connection. I do think it takes a little while to gather the major chemistry with your other players. However, Arsenal are a smart passing team. They're intelligent. They combine well. And Mkhitaryan has played with Aubameyang before.
Yeah.
So you're totally right about that. When you already have that connection lined up and you're both probably going to start, I do think it'll be a slower or a quicker betting in period for him. So yeah,
the back line are going to have a strong game.
Yeah.
Well, so are theirs because if you think about it, their defensive line has not done great for them, especially Cech. Cech is going to have a point to prove. He wants to make sure that people still think he's very good and not finished. So he's going to be definitely one to keep an eye on because he's going to be at the top of his game. But they're still pretty defensively unsure at the minute.
I've always said about Arsenal over the last few years, I feel like they're very similar to Liverpool in that they challenge, but not quite enough. You know, they always seem to be a feeder club to the top clubs. And I feel like to try and get to that next level, I've always felt like they've needed to try and get in a new Patrick Vieira type figure, which they haven't really got. I know they brought Aubameyang in, but I'm unsure as to if he's going to help them challenge for league titles and challenge for Champions Leagues. But again, this is just a proper typical Everton game. This is coming up against, you know, Aubameyang in his first game in the Premier League. And we've got to do all that we can to make sure he doesn't make an impact. And this, we can't fold. You know, we've got to keep the momentum going. If we want any chance of trying to nip a Europa League place or anything of that kind, you know, we're going to have a good game here. And Theo Walcott's going to have to show up as well.
I'm really excited Giroud doesn't play for them anymore, because I feel like every time he played against us, he would get some header goal late, you know, and they don't really have a forward now that they can put in who's great in the air. So they won't have that option.
There's no Aubameyang about 6 foot, though.
I don't really think he's the kind of guy who's going to go up and win a bunch of headers, though. He doesn't
have... No, ruined his hair.
They're not going to be playing balls into the box for him. They're going to try and play balls in behind, and we're going to be aware for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, with who he chooses to play at the back will be...
Just have 11 men in the goal. It'll be fine.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see who Sam chooses to play at the back.
So, having said that, see, Max, your segue ability is immaculate right now.
Didn't even mean it. Didn't even mean it either. Lined them up for you to shoot them down.
What the audience doesn't realize is Max and I planned this for about 3 hours last night, trying to get it perfect. I'm lifting the curtain.
I didn't get included in the plan, so I feel a bit...
Well, Edward, this segue wasn't yours. You know what I mean? This takes a lot of practice. If this was your segue, we'd practice too. All right? Yeah, we spend a lot of time on this outside of our recording, let me tell you. Who's playing, guys?
Literally got him on the other side of the studio.
Right. So who are our starters? All right.
I'd go with the same team.
What is Sam going
to
do?
I'd go with the same team. That's putting a lot on Jagielka's shoulders, but I would go with the same team. The only reason I've singled Jagielka out there is pace, because... You know, for a number of years, you know, he's always had a lot of praise for how, you know, his quickness as a centre half. But as we've seen this season, it seems to have been lost on him a little bit. And I don't know whether that means taking him out and putting Holgate in. But other than that, I wouldn't change the side.
What about Mangala?
Yeah. I have a few questions on those lines. Okay.
Don't rock the boat. I wouldn't rock the boat.
Yeah.
Okay. I think if you take Jags out, I feel like you have to put someone else in, you know? And who is that going to be?
That does work out.
You know what I mean? How the math works? So if you take out...
No, but I mean, I was going to go for Holgate there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this would be a great game for Holgate to shine. I'm unsure of how sharp Mangala actually is. If he's sharp, then definitely by all means, but, you know, put him in.
So the question becomes, if you put Holgate in, do you put him in a defensive partnership that he hasn't had, or do you go with his typical him and Ashley Williams? He usually plays with Williams, like almost every time. So that's why I wrote down Pickford, Coleman, Holgate, Williams, and Martina. You know, I feel like he'll trade out the two center backs. He might not. If he feels... I just worry about Jags playing back-to-back games on a Wednesday and a Saturday.
Mm.
You know, I worry about... Because he's older. He can play like one game every like week and a half, and he looks good. He looked solid last night. He looked all right. He's sitting there making a run down the left side and crossing it back. Now, it didn't work out too well, that cross, but he was there. Just saying.
He tried.
So the rest of the side, I make only one other change. Gay and Davies and Rooney, I think you keep them in. Sigurdsson and Walcott, I think it's impossible to take them out. But
Tosun.
I was thinking about throwing Tosun in there instead of Umar. Here's why though. Okay. I do think Omar will start some shit. I do think he tends to create chaos when he's in. And I do think when we do that, we play higher up as a team. That right there may be exactly why he starts. Okay? I think that's reason enough for him to start. I heard a rumor that the reason, and I don't know if this is true or not, I heard two rumors. One of the reasons was that Tosun was a little bit banged up and that's why he didn't start. Is that true? But again, Twitter rumors. Is this true? I have no idea. All right.
I'll see if that's the case.
And then I read another one where he's not been impressing in training as much. like Omar's impressing in training. He never impresses in training. You know what I mean? So I just don't think that's the case. Plus, Tosun seems like a guy who would be hardworking and just bust his ass every single practice. That's the way it comes across. So I don't know. I think he's very sure-footed. I don't know. I would consider putting him in. And I don't think it really helped Umar to miss those sitters, you know, because I'll be honest, I think, and I'm serious, I think I could have scored at least the first one. Now, the one-on-one with the keeper, big keeper, Schmeichel might have taken me out. Maybe I wouldn't have gotten that. But the first one...
You could have got a PK.
Well, he was so far out, maybe not. But that, if I could have put that left foot in the corner, I feel good about that, you know? And I'm just some guy with a knee injury now. So, yeah. And you know what, guys? I'm reconsidering my position, and I'm sort of wondering, I don't know. I kind of think... before, I thought Tosun was gonna get the nod. But after I talked and talked it out and said we play much higher when Omar's in, I kind of think Sam might do that just because he wants to keep us higher up the pitch. Mm. Because, let's be honest, Leicester have some quick little forwards, and so does Arsenal.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
No. And Arsenal has the same type of thing. So maybe he's going to want to do that. You know what? I'm not going to ride the line. I'm going to say Nias starts. I'm changing my mind. That's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Change my mind.
Join us.
Do what?
Join us.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I thought that Tosun would get a chance just because of this, but I think playing a high line is more important.
I think he might still get a chance. You know, if we defend well and they haven't scored and they don't really think it's going to be... I don't think we're going to be able to create chances that will, because I think we're always going to err on the side of caution with our balls. I don't think we want to... Well, it remains to be seen, but I don't think we'll be as risky with our passes. So I do feel like Tosun might have the opportunity to come on and make an impact.
I think it's like a 55% versus 45%. You know what I mean? 55% Omar, 45% Tosun. That's it. I just think that's the way it's going to go.
They offer different things, so it's depending really on what he wants to do with the approach. Same with the defense; it just offers a different approach. So,
I think Jing Tosun is a starter, and Nias is an off the bench impact sub. I still think that, and I think they're both good players, but they do different things, like you said, Edward. You know,
don't forget Calvert-Lewin.
Still trying to figure out Calvert-Lewin though, because I think he offers a lot, but. Mm.
I think he's run his shift this season. I think he's played far too many minutes, really, than what he'd expected, and he'd had too much responsibility on his shoulders. Mm.
Still comes out with the best celebration, though.
I like him. I think he's been asked to do more than he should have been this season, for sure. So guys, what's the score going to be? What is the score?
You'd ask us this, and you want us to try and remain positive, or what?
No, I want you to legitimately pick the score. Be who you want to be, Max. Don't change who you are for anybody.
Yeah, it's going to be 2-0 Arsenal.
2-0 Arsenal? I thought you were going to be positive. No, you're supposed to be positive.
Well, you're so miserable, aren't you?
So, Edward, what does your head tell you, and then what does your left nostril say?
Well, my heart's going to say, I want it. It's really tough. I think with my heart, I want to say we'll get 1-1. We'll lose 2-1 though, with my head. Maybe worse.
No, I think 1-1. I think it's going to be hard for us to keep them out, but I think we'll play better than expected.
We'll do better than we did against the 5-2 display.
I'm hoping the momentum that we have going on will carry over, because we do have some momentum going. And honestly, mindset is huge in this game. So
we've not been unbeaten in two games.
So,
big stat.
All right, guys. So, yeah, I guess that ends our Arsenal preview. Ooh. And that is all for the big show. If you've been listening via podcast, thank you. Subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast and rate it if you can. If you are digging the videos, please subscribe. Nearing 500. We're getting there. You know, baby steps. All right. Check out Edward's stuff on his YouTube channel, Jam E. James. Details are below. Check out Max's stuff on the Toffee Blues website. He's got some articles on there you should check. And also, you should just check the Toffee Blues website. We're going to plug that. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Okay? But I think that's it. I think that's all we have. Here's to a not-so-embarrassing match on Saturday. Yay.
Let's hope.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. And, yeah, talk to you later.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.